because I don't want to go backwards. I want to keep going forward together. That's exactly where we're going to go.
I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
And this is Rewind, Wisconsin's Eye recap of events in the Capitol this week. J.R. was a little bit slow, but there's an election next week.
Yes,
it might be news to a few voters since,
yes,
you know, about one in five are going to vote. So let's talk about that election. First of all, let's talk about the incumbent. Well, let's frame it. We're going to elect a Supreme Court justice next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And the two candidates, incumbent Ann Walsh Bradley, she wants a third term.
Yes.
She's second on the court.
Mm-hmm.
And
seniority-wise, yes.
Seniority-wise. And what campaign themes has she been out beating? Boom, boom, boom.
Basically, she's been knocking James Daly, one, for being a partisan, essentially, saying, look, the Republican Party of Wisconsin and its county associates are funding this guy's campaign, giving him help. This is unprecedented. He's going to inject partisanship onto the court. That's not a good thing. And she has this campaign ad knocking him for a sentence he gave a guy who beat two kids quite severely, by the way, about a month before he announced he's going to run for Supreme Court, which is kind of bad timing for him. But questioning his judgment, saying people on both sides of the aisle have raised questions about the severity of the beating compared to the light sentence this guy got, what's to say about his judgment. So that's, in a nutshell, if you will, what she's been saying about
I him. Was struck, J.R., at the forum sponsored by the Milwaukee County Bar Association. She had a list of the meetings that week that mm-hmm. Daly was going to have with local Republican Party committees. So she's just said he's going to meet this afternoon at 3 o'clock with the Outagamie County, you know, that was, mm-hmm. so she's really got it documented. But, and so I do you think she's been meeting with any Democratic groups? I haven't heard any evidence of it.
Not that I've heard. Now, what his knock has been on her is like, look, the people who opposed Act 10, the people who opposed voter ID, they're funding her campaign, which, you know, if you look at her campaign finance report, she has a lot of donations from unions. WEAC, for example, gave her the max, the AFSCME. Political action committee gave her the max of $8,625, well, almost the max, I think, for AFSCME, but this traditional Democratic-leaning groups who are funding her campaign.
Yeah.
The difference is you're not seeing a Democratic Party of Wisconsin in-kind donation in mm-hmm. there or a Dane County Democratic Party donation. But his knock has been, look, he called her a friend of criminals, for one thing, on Friday night in their debate, said she's been issuing decisions for 20 years, have tried to soften the blow for criminals, make life better for them. And if you go back to her time as Marathon County judge, that she has issued all these decisions that
right.
are soft on sex offenders.
Yeah, he made public a list of like five or six mm-hmm. cases which dated to her tenure as a Marathon County judge, and which was in the 1990s, alleging that she'd been soft or been lenient on sex offenders, right?
Well, look, Supreme Court races and races for tenure are become like the same thing anymore.
Yeah.
You take the other person's record, every case he or she has handled, been a part of, whatever, and say, okay, this person got this much for a crime, that's light. Okay, what sex offender crime can we find or case in her file and try and dredge that up?
Yep.
That's what they do. Attorney General's the same exact thing. He's soft on sex offenders, she's soft on sex offenders. It kind of becomes a muddled mess, if you will. And for example, in the case that Daly is knocking Bradley for, I mean, it was a case involving somebody who had abused a 4-year-old, I think,
mm-hmm.
and she dismissed the charges at the request of the prosecutor. That's pretty standard stuff. When you're a county judge, DA says knock it out or dismiss charges, you do it.
Yeah.
But that's still a case you're involved in. It's fair game then because it's part of your record for a campaign.
Well, let's look for a minute at what the GAB statements say. So far this year, she's received $490,857, spent $482,000, but she was sitting on March 23rd with $281,000. Mm-hmm. How does that rank in terms of past Supreme Court campaigns?
It's not bad. I mean, outside of Shirley Abramson, there hasn't been really a truly great fundraiser, if you will, the Supreme Court that I've seen in my 15 years up here. Now, Annette Ziegler, for example, pumped a lot of her own money into the race,
yeah.
much different. But as far as raising money, that's about, you know, decent to above average. It has given her advantage that she's on TV and Daly is not. Now, I've got to be honest, I watch a decent amount of TV in Madison. I don't see many of her ads. They're not like blanking the airways, but for a race like this, it's, you know, okay by.
Okay, and now let's turn to Daly. We've been mentioning somewhat. Mm-hmm. Former Rock County DA, mm-hmm. he's a veteran judge. He was appointed by Tommy. The question I hear is, was he the first choice to challenge Ann Walsh Bradley, J.R.?
You know, I think there are others that they looked at, but he stepped forward.
He did. He raised his hand.
Yep, so that's in court. I mean, be honest, Justice Gableman was not the first choice for conservatives. When he ran, I knew a good dozen other people who had been talked about before I settled him, and he won.
2008, yeah, okay.
So, I mean, that's, but the issues for Daley are this. He is not quite excited conservatives yet with a couple of things. One, the sentence he handed out right before he announced, it's an unfortunate timing for him, but it raises questions about his judgment. That's not going to sit with conservatives when you're doing that. Two, he was asked, well, how do you resolve this complaint against Justice Prosser and the altercation with Justice Bradley?
Yes.
He said, let's give it to Minnesota judges. Well, if you're a strict constitutionalist or constructionist, you're going to say, wait a second, you're going to have out-of-state judges who have nothing to do with our Constitution issue a decision about our laws? That's a red flag.
Right.
And then you kind of start going down the list. In the debate Friday night, there was this kind of key moment where he said coordination is legal, period.
Coordination between a candidate's campaign and third-party groups?
Yes. Okay. Well, by the way, the John Doe case, that is the key, the heart of that case for the Supreme Court. Is it allowable to coordinate on issue advocacy? So I asked him afterward, are you specifically talking about express advocacy, those are the ads that say vote for, vote against, or do you include issue advocacy, which is, you know, Steve Walters is a bad person, call him and say he's a bad person.
Right.
He says it's legal, period. Well, if you're WMC or these other groups who normally get involved in Supreme Court races, you're going, okay, wait a second. You're saying what I did with Governor Walker's campaign and the recalls is illegal. What's my motivation to help you out right now? And you see that reflected in where the money is going right now for the race versus the constitutional amendments on the ballot on Tuesday. He's not getting outside help. And I got a copy of a recording of Daley at a Republican county meeting a few months ago where his aide said, look, our saving grace for conservatives has been outside groups. They come in and help us out.
Right.
There's been no saving grace for Judge Daley.
That's not happening.
No.
In which case, let's look at his campaign finance numbers. This is Judge Daley through March 23rd. Doesn't pick up anything from 2014. Contributions, $213,577. Spending, $197,667. Cash on hand, $67,948. Ann Walsh Bradley had four times as much cash on hand. And the Justice Center, I got to get the term right, the Brennan Center for Justice released a study today. Bradley campaign spent $510,000 on TV ads, mm-hmm. and they were helped by $101,000 from the Greater Milwaukee Committee.
Greater Wisconsin, yes.
Great, thank you. Thanks for the correction. And here's the amount that Judge Daley mm-hmm. has spent on TV ads. Zero. Zip.
He's been putting his money into radio.
Yeah.
Looking through his report, I think I found the last one, $110,000 roughly in radio. And if you listen to conservative talk radio in Milwaukee, I mean, that's where I'm hearing his ads. He is making a pitch that Ann Walsh Bradley opposed Act 10. She opposed voter ID. She's in cahoots with these people who oppose governor's agenda. She's an activist. We need to try and fight back. Here I am, a Marine, a prosecutor, a judge who will stick the Constitution. But it's appealing to a narrow slice of the electorate.
Yeah.
You need more than conservatives to turn out for you to win on April 7th, even though you're talking about 20% turnout.
Okay, but let's talk about talk radio in Milwaukee for just a minute. You and I have heard Judge Daley being embraced by Charlie Sykes in the mm-hmm. morning on TMJ, mm-hmm. but Mark Belling, the afternoon talk radio guy, once called him out and just said he's a very poor candidate. So you have talk radio split on that. That's hardly, that presents some troubles for Daley.
Well, Belling's issue is that the case that's in Bradley's ad saying what's this guy's judgment? I'm not going to back a guy for the court. Well, I don't think he's qualified. He also says, I think Ann Walsh Bradley's qualified, by the way. But so he thinks neither of them should be in the court. If you listen to other talks, radio show hosts, they're not nearly as enthusiastic, if you will, about their embrace of Daley as they have in past races. And you hear him
right.
talk more about the amendment
yeah.
than you do about the race. So it kind of sends you a sign that I'm not saying he can't win on Tuesday. But if I had to bet my mortgage payment next month on who's going to win, I would say Ann Walsh Bradley has the advantage right now.
Well, you mentioned the amendment. That's the next thing I want to turn to. It hasn't gotten much. I got my first push-pull call today, or I'm sorry, yesterday on the issue, but I couldn't understand which way you wanted me to vote. But the point is that if there hasn't been much attention to the candidate's race, there's been oh so much less to the yeah. constitutional amendment. Yet it says that it would upend and overturn a 125-year practice that the longest-serving justice is the Chief Justice. Instead, the justices would elect a Chief Justice clearly aimed at Chief Justice Shirley Abramson, appointed by Democratic Governor Lucy in 1976, Chief Justice since 1996. Mm-hmm. Right?
Well, Republicans say, look, it's not about Shirley, it's about democracy.
Oh,
that's
sure.
The official
and I got
line.
This bridge, okay, that I want you
of course,
to buy. Go
they
ahead.
Also rejected pushing off in the take effective date till after she leaves office. So, you know, but yes, you could say it's going after Shirley, but the bottom line is that they are pushing this change. They're trying to argue the argument that this is about democracy. That, look, we're going to allow the justices to vote for the Chief Justice. Okay.
22 other states do it this way.
The other side is saying this is all about Shirley. Let me ask you this question. What kind of name do you think Shirley Abraham has right now in the state of Wisconsin? 10%? 8%?
Right.
So it's a hard issue for people to get excited about. Now, I've seen a number of amendments go referendums on the ballot in the time that I've been here. Almost all have passed. It's very rare to see one shot down. The one I can remember that was before my time, I think, was a proposed amendment to allow targeted property tax relief. And what I had heard, which was before my time, was that it was so poorly worded, it was confusing, and that's why voters turned against it.
I think this is the uniformity amendment that Dave Travis and Joe Wineke went around the state. I covered that. That was very confusing.
Yeah.
We would like you to amend the uniformity clause. Huh?
Yeah. So there are two trains of thought that I get from talking to people. One is that people walk in the booth and say, okay, it says vote for a justice. Okay, that makes sense.
I understand. That's a straight-up decision.
So now there's the train of thought that if Amos Bradley were in real trouble, which would mean conservatives really jazzed about this election, that it would make the amendment kind of a slam dunk because they'd turn out in force, she'd be in trouble, her base wouldn't be that motivated, and that thing would fly.
Right.
Another train of thought, well, okay, if Ann Walsh does really well, maybe the anti-amendment people can hitch their wagon to her and, you know, defeat this thing. But you look at, like, what's being spent, you know, the Vote Yes for Democracy folks are up on radio.
Yeah.
They just started TV, I think, on Tuesday in Green Bay and a couple markets. Not sure which ones off the top of my head. But they're on TV and radio. The other folks are doing radio, but $80,000 of it. I mean, it's not.
Right.
This is not going to break through the clutter. Oh, by the way, we're on spring break this week. How many people are watching TV this week in Wisconsin and really paying attention as opposed to, like, what I mean, my kid today, he's off from school. And then they have the weekend and then Tuesday. And it's Final Four weekend, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah, and they're Wisconsin versus Kentucky. Yeah, we're showing a graphic of the actual language. And then let's go to that, the spending on this thing. You just mentioned it. $600,000 by WMC.
Mm-hmm.
You made a very good point in a memo to me about this. If WMC is spending $600,000 on the amendment, they're not spending it on
James Daly. I mean, it's a sign. Look, politics is a cold-hearted game sometimes. And they make decisions without an ounce of feeling. They may like him or they may despise Ann Walsh Bradley, but it's about who's going to win and where's the best use of my money. They decide the best use of their money is in the amendment. And now it's, again, about Chief Justice Abramson changing how that court would work. They've been no fan of Chief Justice Abramson or Ann Walsh Bradley over the last few years. So that's a bigger motivation for them, bigger priority than it is just.
But Walsh Bradley and Chief Justice Abramson, you're getting outvoted. Excuse me. There's a four conservative block that just outvotes him on everything. So a little bit of me says, why are you targeting the chief when she doesn't get her way anymore?
It strips the administrative authority of the court from her. It would allow the conservative block to run things. I mean, it would change how the court functions, if you will, which you and I mean, even as much as we're junkies, we wouldn't really see that big of a change. But the court itself would function
symbolic.
With a different. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Well, this is actually, the issue of the amendment is something, I usually have an inkle how it's going to turn out. I don't have a clue on this one, JR. What is your theory, pass or not?
I would guess, I get the feeling that it likely will pass, but there's, again, 20%, there's no slam dunk. If it's worded, I can't remember exactly what off the top of my head, but if it's worded easily enough, people understand it, that, okay, we're just going to, it's just about democracy and voting for somebody.
Yeah.
Maybe it gives people a kind of a okay feeling about it, but honestly, it is kind of a crapshoot right now because who's going to turn out? You know, there's a contested mayoral race in Madison. There's one in Green Bay. There's nothing in Milwaukee. There's no county executive race or mayoral race. There are a number of school referendums around the state.
I think 47 or something.
Yeah, a huge number. But where's the passion going to be on Tuesday? That's an excellent question about what will the electorate look like on Tuesday.
So you're not making a prediction on the amendment.
I would say a slight edge, but nothing surprises me right now.
A slight edge to pass it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, now let's turn. Third subject. Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald said, I really don't like the governor's plan to use jock taxes to contribute $220 million towards the new Bucks Arena. So he's now proposing to tap into money administered by the Board of Commissioners Public Lands, which is the Secretary of State and the State Treasurer and the Attorney General.
Yep.
Have you heard the figure up to 150 alone?
Yes. So essentially, this board 100 years ago, the state sold a bunch of land and created this board to oversee the proceeds of those sales and also manage other state lands. So they have money coming in from the, you know, timber and that kind of stuff, but they also make loans to local governments, cities, counties, that kind of thing.
School districts and libraries.
And then the interest comes off of that, goes into the public library fund. So it's, the thought is that, okay, we can tap that money that's over there, pay back at a lower rate than we would in the open market. Oh, by the way, you can sell it as to outside lawmakers. Hey, you're paying back not Wall Street, but school libraries. Isn't it a win-win for everybody? A couple of issues with it, though. One, the board is an independent body from the legislature. You can't compel them to approve your project. So you have to win them over. Two,
there's two R's on that board.
Yes, there are.
The state treasurer, who's been trying to get its administrator fired,
and the attorney general,
and then the Democrat is Secretary of State. Go ahead, excuse me.
But there's about $1 billion in assets over there. Yeah. But of that, about $100 million is cash. So also, do you need to have a reserve? I mean, should you keep all money aside? So there's kind of a smaller pot of money, unless you get the board to sell other assets and free up a bunch of money, which could be done. Then where does the money go? Is it lent to the city, the county, the sports authority that's set up? And there are all kinds of options to kind of figure out. But it would be a source of revenue that would lower the bonding, if you will, for the state, which is a huge issue for lawmakers.
Yeah, because the bonds would be issued with the full face and credit and authority of the state.
And the other thing is, they're not happy at 220, so 120, 150 would be better. But you need city and county buy-in. What's the team going to do? There's also moving pieces, if you will, to get a final answer.
It's a long way from being a deal, right?
Well, it better be a quick, not a long way, because they're going to start voting the budget in mid-April.
Yeah.
And have that puppy knocked out, you know, end of May out of joint finance. So they need an answer soon.
That's when I heard. Well, just on that note, do you understand the joint finance is going to start voting in mid-April?
Mid-April is what
we're
going to
take some
for.
Time here due to the tragic loss of Senator Darling's spouse, Bill.
Yep. So start knocking that out. But like whatever always happens with joint finance, they'll start with easy stuff.
Easy stuff.
And they'll kind of build up to more easy stuff. And then all of a sudden, you're going to have like the last week, it's going to be all these all-nighters of schools, bonding, roads.
Which is a process that I expect to go through the end of May, because these are some tough issues.
Yeah. MA, I mean, all the emotional
family
testimony.
Family care, senior care.
I mean,
ISIS.
Seniors, yeah.
Transport, we haven't mentioned, well, we've talked about that. Time for my weekly question. How's I want to be president, Governor Walker. Has he had a good week, a slow week?
He was in Wisconsin for the most part this week.
Okay.
Did some meetings with lawmakers yesterday about various things, including the Bucks Arena. He actually did a gaggle with reporters in Wisconsin for the first time in a few weeks. I think it's, by my count, it was the first time he's only did three of them in March that I can count. And then that was the first one this month. Fourth one in March total.
Mm-hmm.
Unusual for him. He does a lot more of that.
Yep.
He also had an FEC complaint filed, saying basically,
but
okay,
it's not just filed against him.
Others.
Santorum and
basically, look, you guys run for president. Let's be honest here. You guys are saying that you're promoting your message, but you're running for president. So let's be honest. You should be now have to adhere to certain campaign finance limits. Governor Walker's 527, our American Revival, can raise unlimited amounts of money
mm-hmm.
from anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, six-figure checks, sometimes even bigger. We don't know. As opposed to, was it $2,800 or $56, somewhere around there?
I don't know.
Much smaller donation, federal level.
Point is, much smaller donation.
And you have these reporting requirements. So they're, I don't know if it's going to be successful, but they hit him with that. He's talking about the deals with the Iran nuclear talks. They say about that, but it's not a big week for Governor Walker outstate, at least not publicly.
What about in the next week? Is he going to hit the road again, do you know?
Oh, good question. I forgot about that one. What week is next week? I got to be honest.
Fifth.
He
April
seems to be
fifth.
Going places all the time. I can't remember the top of my head, but he's...
Understand.
But what's interesting, a couple more polls out this week, he's still in the top tier. Quinnipiac out today. He was leading in Ohio, Pennsylvania, top tier in Ohio and Florida.
Leading?
In Ohio, Pennsylvania, I'm sorry, yes, like about 14%, you know. So yesterday we had public policy polling out with a new national survey, top tier again. I mean, even though he's had these perceived stumbles, if you will, the last couple of weeks, his support is sticking. Now, what PPP, though, argued was its national polls showed that Cruz getting a big bump because he's now gotten in officially,
mm-hmm.
and that it took some of Walker's support away. Now,
mm-hmm.
Cruz was doing well with those who identify themselves as very conservative. Walker was leading those guys before, now it's Cruz. So it is really early, don't read too much into it, but the jockeying has begun.
That's true. Okay. You're giving the Wisconsin stock report a week off?
Yes.
Okay. You're from Indiana. Mm-hmm. Basketball's huge in Indiana. There's a big game Saturday. Kentucky or Wisconsin, and how much?
I can't predict it because I so dislike Kentucky.
Oh, you can't predict it, so you so
my
dislike.
Personal feelings will cloud my judgment. Let's put it that way.
Okay, fair enough. I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
That's Rewind. Thank you.